The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Good morning and welcome to Conspiracy Theory Thursday. If you have a good one or some thoughts on a great conspiracy, every day the news feels like a conspiracy theory, but anyway, you know the number, 770-563-3770-KMED. Anytime you want to email, it's bill@billmyersshow.com. And the Facebook.com feed is up there. We're streamed on KMED.com. And gosh, heard on 106.3 KMED, 106.7 in South Jackson County, 105.9 for Grants Pass. Grants Pass, of course, also has the big signal 99.3 KBXG that carries my morning show. And I appreciate you listening wherever you happen to be. 770-5633. Now, a couple of things that we're going to be talking about this morning. I was just thinking about that Joe Pags promo that ran right before I came on. It's talking about election fraud. And I decided to invite a guest on who kind of cuts against my preconceived notion, because there is some news on both sides of this, and it does have to do with election fraud. And Ken Block is going to join me around 7:30 this morning. And he's a tech entrepreneur, used to work for the Trump campaign when they were trying to find cause for going into court for election fraud. And he worked this. And he had a debate recently with MyPillow, CEO Mike Lindell. Of course, Mike is solidly on, hey, this was a totally rigged situation. And Ken, who's looking at data, says that there are other explanations for what happened in 2020. And I think it was reasonable to talk about it. And so I'm going to bring him on at 7:30 and discuss his findings on it. This also, the day after, I think it was a couple of days ago, I saved that story about what is going on over in Georgia. In Georgia, they had a just amazing story come out that there appears to have been enough ballots run twice without pictures being taken of them to have thrown the Georgia election for Biden. And so I don't know if Ken is, maybe, I'm sure Ken's probably stayed apprised of that story, but we'll kind of discuss this, because it does look like they always talk about election fraud is, yeah, there's election fraud because there's always going to be, well, there's humans involved here. There are going to be errors, things happen. And there are also people trying to do bad things, and who shouldn't be voting, who are voting, et cetera, you know, those kind of things. But it's never enough to throw the election. Well, in Georgia, they're thinking there might be. In fact, they had a Citizens Committee go out there and declare a state of emergency. So it's very interesting about that. And of course, it's not being reported widely because it's the wrong kind of narrative. So I can see both sides of this story. So we'll talk with Ken Block about that. Should be a very interesting conversation. They voted 7-0 last night in the Grants Pass City Council to move forward with a new homelessness plan. And I'm going to talk with Councilor Dwayne Yunker about that in around a half hour. They voted 7-0. There's only going to be four places that the homeless can hang out and sleep and do all these other things and be, you know, experiencing bumdom as they seem to want. All right. And we'll talk more about that. So it does appear that City of Grants Pass is going to get back some, if not most, of their parks. OK, we'll have a conversation about that here in the next few minutes. I'm also going to talk to an AI guy for about 10 minutes at 7:10, wrote a book about this. And I know that AI stocks are not doing all that well right now. Chips have been leaking support and all these sorts of various things. I am still concerned about the AI world, that if we humans aren't essentially training our replacements. I mean, yeah, everyone says, oh, AI is going to be the future. This is great to save us so much time. But yet, how do they learn? How does AI, quote unquote, learn? Essentially, they just read all our stuff, everything we put on the web, all the books. They just read it all, digest it, and then spit it back to us. I don't know, but I'll talk to him about that. Are we just all going to be on universal basic income and then AI does all the work? We'll have that conversation with him coming up. Cat Bill Simpson also joining the show here in just a few. And that'll be actually at 8:10. And the San Francisco Chronicle had this amazing story saying that the problems with the Klamath Dam removal is just all those damn wild horses. Those damn wild horses are causing problems out there. Anyway, we'll talk with Bill about it. Always enjoy giving him a few minutes. 770-5633-770-KMED. A question that I wanted to pose to you this morning. I am not a veteran, all right? And so when I hear the claims of stolen valor, I want to be very careful about it because I was not part of that culture, that military culture. But the Tim Walz story has resurfaced again. This actually happened a number of years ago, too, when he was first running and going into politics. And FreeBacon.com did probably the best story on evaluating this. And I'll just read a little bit from their story. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz has described himself as a veteran of Operation Enduring Freedom, the official name of the war in Afghanistan after 9/11. Remember that one? But Walz never deployed to the Middle East. And when an Iraq war veteran confronted Walz's aides as evidence with evidence of what he calls stolen valor, his aides didn't do much to address it. This is when he was running for Congress back in 2006. Walz, who called himself a citizen soldier, has been accused of embellishing his military service. Two Minnesota National Guardsmen said in 2022 that Walz falsely claimed he reached the rank of command sergeant major. But Walz did not fulfill the duties required to maintain that rank before he quit the service in 2005. Walz served in the Nebraska National Guard from 1981 to 1996 and the Minnesota National Guard from 1996 to 2005. He resigned that year. He quit his teaching job at Mankato West High School and ran for Congress. The Harris campaign defended Walz's military record, citing his deployment overseas during the Afghanistan War. Governor Walz was deployed to Italy in support of Operation Enduring Freedom while serving in the National Guard. This according to the Harris spokesmouth, Lauren Hilt. And by the way, Walz has not actually gone on and defended this. It's been everybody else defending it for him. But we appreciate his service and appreciate his being deployed, but there's a huge difference between being deployed to a base in Italy and being in a combat zone in Afghanistan, one of the complainants told the Walz aide in the 2009 encounter. So a question for you this morning. You have J.D. Vance, who really did deploy and really did do his thing. You have Walz, who did deploy, calls himself an enduring freedom veteran, but he deployed in support services in Italy instead. And yet, at the same time, he's also decried weapons of war, you know, the M4 or the M16 or the AR-15, you know, whatever the case might be, as the same, you know, we shouldn't be able to have weapons of war like what I took into a war zone. He's been on the record as saying something like that, but yet he never went into a war zone. And my question for you, though, is this a big deal? Because it's kind of funny. I get differing responses. I've talked to a couple of women in my in family and beyond. And then there will be guys that go, man, they're just all over this stuff. Yeah. This is just really bad stuff. This is, you know, John Kerry all over again. And of course, the Democrats are saying this is just the next version of swift voting of a Democrat nominee. Is this a big deal? What is your opinion then? I'm just asking for your opinion. And it certainly looks to me like he kind of, I mean, yes, he served in Enduring Freedom, but when we think about serving in Enduring Freedom, we're not thinking about, you know, hanging out in Italy in support. You know, when you're talking about, yeah, I was in Afghanistan, I was in that Afghanistan battle, you're thinking that, hey, you know, you're kicking indoors and fighting and being attacked with IEDs, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's what we think of normally as an Afghanistan veteran. Is it a big deal? That's one question. And second of all, will it have any effect? Will it matter? Because a friend of mine was text messaging last night and you know, he's telling me, hey, I'll tell you what, they're gonna fight this for a few days here, and then at the convention they're going to bring in Josh Shapiro. Josh Shapiro will then ride in to save the day. Now, I disagree with that because no matter what, Josh Shapiro is still too Jewish to be a Democrat presidential candidate or vice presidential candidate. Just too much Jewishness there. That's just not going to happen. 770-5633, I think it's pretty interesting. And is the stolen valor thing, do you think it's valid, a big deal? Will it affect the race? Or does it just strengthen the preconceived notions? I don't know if it necessarily hurts in the Democratic Party. They might think, hey, okay, great. You know, he looks like a big-time soldier, but yet he did serve in the National Guard for like 25 years. It's not like he didn't do anything. Oh, so apparently communists can serve in the National Guard. Yay, team. This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
Good. Artisan Bakery Cafe.
First month. Save money, same service with Pure Talk.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone with Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on KMED.
23 minutes after 6, 770-5633 on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Hey, before we get to the phones, and one of the calls, or at least one of the topics I have in play, is the stolen valor claim against Tim Walz, the Democratic vice presidential candidate. Big deal. Will it make a difference? Do you think they'll replace him, keep him? Or is this just another swift boating of someone, and you think this is just much to do about nothing? I mean, he did serve in the National Guard for some quarter of a century before he quit. But, of course, he ended up resigning 2 months before his unit deployed to Afghanistan. I mean, to Afghanistan. So, I don't know. It's of course, there's still a part of me that said, why do we have National Guard doing that kind of work back during the Iraq War anyway? Obviously, I think that, I mean, they just wore, I got to tell you, the system just ground down the National Guardsmen, I'll tell you that. Just my opinion after the fact. But we can talk about that, 770-5633. I wanted to make sure, though, you know about this before we get to the calls. Tonight, it is the roadshow. Pardon me. It is the roadshow here. Transportation concerns, the Joint Committee on Transportation holding a hearing, public hearing today, 5 o'clock. Over at the Mace Building, Jackson County Expo, 5 till 7 is when this is going on. And you can also testify if you could show up at that meeting 30 minutes prior and get your word in here. So it's about, you know, talking about your concerns of the transportation world. And what it really comes down to, though, is that ODOT's concerned that they're going to have to lay off 1,000 jobs or more if there's not more money approved for them. And so they're looking for more money. Now, naturally, what the Department of Transportation is going to be wanting to do is to chip your car and get you into time of day pricing for going into the cities and charge you more for certain times of day, and also make up for the fact that the gas tax is not raising as much money. All right. So I just want you to understand why they're doing this. And they're going to try to make this about more traffic calming, more bicycles, more everything like that. But yet at the same time, we don't have enough money because there's not more gas money coming in, and they're seeing the bite of inflation. If you are going to testify, I'm going to submit a written comment. But my comment is going to be about raise the gas tax and index it to inflation. I have no problem with that tax raising and going up with inflation as consumer price inflation, because otherwise you can't keep up with the price of asphalt and everything else. One thing I love about the gas tax, not that I love the gas tax, but the one thing I like about it is private. It has nothing to do with the state of Oregon knowing where you drive or where I drive. And that's the way it should be. What they want is yet another chip your vehicle, monitor you, GPS, and track where you go at all times, and then tax you for the mileage that you drive. But that also means that just like the smart meters, they're able to tweak the chip for your vehicle so that they can charge you more at certain times of day, so that they can socially engineer you again. If you want to drive someplace, you better be wealthy, you know, at certain times of day, because only the wealthy will be able to afford to drive in there. Poor people, well, you better get your bicycle or your RVTD or Josephine County Transit bus pass. No vehicle for you, because we hate vehicles and hate people that drive vehicles, unless they're wealthy and big political donors. So that's where they want to take it, all right? So please, if you're not getting money from the electric cars, tax the electric cars. Put a big surcharge on the electric cars, whether it's registration, because they're not paying their share right now. They're not paying for the road damage right now. Do it that way. Keep it anonymous about where you drive. And then raise the gas tax, index it for inflation. Okay? That just makes sense. That's just common sense. 770-5633. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm going to be commenting here. But they're going to want to take every excuse possible to chip you to yet another tracking device in the surveillance state. And this time, Oregon would be able to use it to charge you more, just like a smart meter, when you drive certain places at certain times of day. And we just don't want you there. We want Medford open streets, like those stupid agendas that they have. We're going to take over public streets, and we're going to have little festivals everywhere every morning. And this is another part of our sustainable, equitably friendly community type thing. So anyway, there we go. Let me talk to Francine. Francine from Talent. Power must be actually on this morning. That's why she can call. How you doing, Francine?
Well, yeah. I mean, usually my cell phone will still work unless it's not charged.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good. That's right.
No, we have power this morning.
Good.
Yeah, you got me a little sidetracked off my topic about walls.
Okay, well, before you get to the other sidetrack here, like I guess you're going to go into the taxing thing, but give me walls first. Do you think the walls stolen valor thing, do you think it holds water? Is it a big deal or just a tempest in a teapot?
To his character, you see, that's mm-hmm. that's what's important, but it's going to get glossed over. Like the Democrats always manage to just, you know, go cruise over that kind of stuff and make it seem insignificant, you know, while they'll pick on the color or the you know, Trump's cufflinks or something.
Well, yeah, they'll make fun of Trump as an example. Well, you know, Trump ended up getting deferments on the draft back then. Bone mm-hmm. spurs. Remember, they nicknamed him Bone Spurs. And they'd say that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. But, you know, it speaks to his character. And then I was looking at some stuff on the internet yesterday, and his record in Minnesota, you know, the things that went on in the state, it was pretty abysmal. It's all, you know, losses, money disappearing, mm-hmm. you know, that, I mean, it's just, he's not, his character is not something that I would be proud of if I wanted to use him.
So it's not then that you think the stolen valor is as egregious as it's being portrayed, but there's enough there that it still gives you pause? Is that kind of what you're thinking?
It still gives me pause. I wouldn't say it's not as, you know, because if I were someone who were serving and experienced, you know, he was what was his rank? He had some kind of a
I forget that. I have it written down here someplace.
Yeah,
I have to look.
But I mean, and then he just, you know, skittled out before anything got heavy. I would be pretty upset, and I would consider it a, you know, an absence of valor, or whatever, however you just phrase that.
But after having been now, and see, the one thing I'm going to try to do is be like every other national talk show host will not be, okay? Because, you know, I get it. This is all politics right now. This is a hot deal. You know, you're never going to get Mark mm-hmm. Levin to right, give him a break.
Yeah.
But the one thing I will say, I'll try to be fair about this, though, is that he was in the National Guard for some quarter century. It wasn't like he was never serving. You know what I'm getting at? It's not like he didn't do anything.
He probably didn't. There was nothing wrong technically with what he did, you know, but it does speak to his character a little bit. And then on top of everything else that we're learning about him, he's not a very cool guy. Then you put that all on top of all his socialistic tendencies that are just blatant.
And the same kind of votes like tampons in the boys' rooms, right? Same kind of thing.
There was that. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right. I almost forgot about that one.
Yeah, Tampon Tim is what they're calling him. That's the trending social media hashtag right now, Tampon Tim.
But we had what's her name, that Republican running for governor? What was, you know, Christine?
Christine Drazen. She did the same thing. Yes, she voted for that.
She did the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody. You know, it's like everybody's doing it. That won't finish that one.
Yeah, I know.
From elementary school, you remember it. But you know what I mean? It's like, God, Bill, there's just nobody has any character or any backbone or stands up for anything that really matters anymore. They're all just riding this wave of, I don't know.
Go along to get along, and I'm going to make votes to be liked, et cetera. And it's like, do you think that, you know, some guy in the National Guard, does he really think that that men menstruate and need tampons? Really?
I know. It's insane. But, you know, I mean, I did some, I looked up, you know, they're using the word weird now. You know, Trump is weird and everything. And I looked up
Oh, no, wait a minute. When I hear them talk about Republicans that way, oh, yeah, like it's perfectly okay to have the drag queens and push kids to have their genitals cut off. There's nothing weird about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And I looked up some older definitions, not the current, you know, just superficial, of the word queer and the word weird, and they're very similar.
Glad to know. Hey, thanks for the call, Francine. And now, did you want to weigh in on the tax thing real quick, since I kind of took you into the walls conversation?
Yeah,
I'll give you a bite of that.
It's just kind of a quick little thing. All of this that you know, with it being the, it's a push toward tracking us, keeping track of us. Mm-hmm. I agree with that completely. And that's also, you know, I mean, even Trump has been talking about, oh, we're going to become a Bitcoin nation, you know, the capital of Bitcoin. That's the same thing. That's tracking us. They control our money. They will have absolute power over every cent we have if we switch to a cryptocurrency. I mean, it's over.
I appreciate the call. Thanks for that. 7705.
Right.
Well, actually, let's hold the calls here for just a moment because I'm going to make a call of my own here after news. And that'll be to State Representative and also Grants Pass City Councilor Dwayne Yunker, because they voted 7-0 on a homelessness plan. And, you know, now that we've had this Supreme Court decision, where is Grants Pass going to go? Is there some sanity that will return to the streets and to the parks? We'll find out and talk more about it next.
At Progressive, we know there's a lot of things you can track. Steps, calories, heart rate, your pet steps, screen time, the whereabouts of your favorite celebrity, how long you slept, how long you didn't sleep, how long you thought about sleeping, how long you thought about how long you thought about sleeping. But none of these things could save you money. Unlike Snapshot from Progressive, which customizes your rate based on how and how much you drive. It's much better for your bottom line than tracking your Cocker Spaniels.
News Talk 106.3 KMET. This is the Bill Myers Show.
It's 20 before 7, and joining me, we have State Rep and Grants Pass City Councilor Dwayne Yunker. Dwayne, always great to have you on. Welcome back, sir. How are you doing today?
Good, Bill. Good morning.
Well, it appears that the Grants Pass City Council united around a sensible plan or a semi-sensible plan when it comes to dealing with homeless here in Grants Pass, given what happened with the Supreme Court decision of a few weeks ago. What are we talking about now? What do you think?
Well, I don't think it's a perfect plan. I think it's a step in the right direction. The overall goal was to get the parks back. That was the goal.
Uh-huh. The people seemed to make it in some of those hearings and meetings. They made it very clear they want the parks back. That was the big thing, right?
That's what it is. And, you know, in the last year, we've been really trying to move towards that. You know, I really feel that this court case has really done a lot of damage to the City of Grants Pass, you know, unwanted. We won our court case, you know, that we didn't do anything wrong. Not that we were doing anything wrong that any other city wasn't doing, and we paid the price for that. And we can't get it back. So we just got to keep moving forward. Is this a perfect plan? No. Is this the end of the plan? No. We would like to keep consolidating and, you know, making it smaller, and see where it goes. We got to reevaluate the. We have 4 sites. I'm going to reevaluate it once this takes effect. You know, obviously we got to prep these areas and hopefully we, you know, change it to maybe 1 or 2 sites. You know, on another side of this is I have a repeal and then a bill to repeal some of this too, these leftist policies for homelessness in the state of Oregon. We're the only state that has these policies that, you know, 72 hours to move someone's garbage. I'm just going to say it like that, garbage. That is ridiculous. You know, the law before that was only 24 hours, and most people are going to move. You know, people like.
So what you're complaining about, State Rep Yunker, then, is that the state of Oregon took what the Boise decision did and what the Ninth Circuit did, which was overturned by the Supreme Court, and made it state law, essentially, right? Is that what happened?
Yeah, there's 2 bills that people like Pam Marsh and the, you know, the Democrats took was HB 3115 and HB 3124. HB 3115 was, you know, time, place, and manner, and objectively reasonable. And 3124 is actually the 72-hour law, moving someone's stuff and storing it for 30 days. That's a lot of burden on cities to deal with. And if you did something wrong, and the cops came to you, you'd have to do it right away. If you're homeless and you want to put your tent where it's not supposed to be, you know, they're trying to give them out. Well, they could stay 72 hours to move their stuff. Well, that's
72 hours is a long time. 72 hours is quite a bit of time to allow someone to continue to break the law of your land there, right?
Yeah, yes. I mean, when the cop comes to me or tells me I did something wrong, I'm usually going to, you know, well, usually I do what I'm told to do. You know, that's just kind of how I was raised. You know, hey, the authority figure says this is not where you do it, or you have to do it over here. And that's what you do. You don't get to say, well, I'll do it in 72 hours. but I think we're going in the right direction. It's a perfect plan. You know, is everybody happy? No. I understand that. And, you know, there's some people that want to complain that, you know, well, I talk to all my neighbors. We don't want it. Well, no one wants it. Nobody wants homeless people near them. I get that. And I know there's different segments of homeless people, but there's a lot of drug addicts that are doing bad stuff. And we know if you're doing drugs, you're doing theft, you're stealing, you know, you're stealing stuff,
You're probably not buying your entire drug habit out for the Social Security disability income, right?
No.
Probably not going to happen.
Yeah, and non-drug people are probably not committing crimes. You know, they're just trying to live. I get that. I'm human. I understand that part.
So is there anything, though, in this ordinance that kind of, separates the two types of homelessness? I mean, maybe there's two or three, but, you know, you have the mentally ill, drug addicted, or raving problem type homelessness that really has bugged people. And then there are the folks who are just truly down on their luck and just trying to find a way to eke it out. I mean, does the new ordinance kind of separate this or have any, you know, exceptions for, in other words, treat people differently based on what they're doing, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, obviously, we have to let law enforcement do law enforcement stuff. That's what law enforcement does.
Okay.
There is one site that gives them, the water treatment plant gives them a little bit longer, allowed to stay there. But, you know, who's going to monitor that? I think law enforcement is going to monitor that. You know, a lot of things are going to be changing here. We've debated this. I voted no on HB 4002. I think it's this week. But we'll see if the county of Josephine County and City of Grants Pass, the DA, do their job about enforcing drug use. I mean, drug use is really what's killing us here. It really is. The people that voted for Measure 110, it's just done so much damage to the state and our cities.
And even trying to reverse on Measure 110, you're still dealing with a massive amount of newly addicted people. We can't ignore that, can we?
We can't. The crimes around drug use is much. If we can get rid of, I've always had this theory. If you got rid of addiction, you'd probably see half our jails empty and other things, because addiction just hurts everybody around them, themselves, their families, the people, everything. It's just a horrible thing.
Yeah, but that it seems to be so intractable, though, counselor. And yet there's a part of me that said that. I mean, nobody grabs somebody off the street and says, here's methamphetamine or here's fentanyl. Go ahead and take some, though. There has to be some responsibility for the fact that you took the personal action to go down that road. Whether you're just depressed and you're thinking, hey, fentanyl's going to make me better, I don't know. But I'll tell you, to burden the rest of the people with those kind of problems is a tall order. It really is.
It really is. I was talking to a gentleman last night afterwards, and I said, you know, he's like, you know, challenging Christianity. And I said, well, you know, it's like having a kid, your child, you know, you love your child, but you're not going to put up with the bad behavior. You know, and that's what we need to look at is like, hey, yeah, we do love people because that's what compassionate people do, but we're not going to put up with your bad behavior. We're not going to enable this stuff to happen. And I think we need to go back to more of that, because we are an enabling state. That's what we've been doing. We've been enabling bad behavior, and we need to stop it.
Now, Councilor Dwayne Junker with me here. He's not only a state rep, but also a Grants Pass City Councilor. They voted 7-0 to adopt a new camping resolution here. Are any of these four locations in what there's the part of the future water treatment plant site on Southeast J, that's going to be part of it, part of the southwest corner of Riverside Park. And let's see, where are some of these other places? But anyway, what's that now?
And then part behind the Parkside fire station, there's a little sliver back there too.
Okay. Are any of those what would be termed low barrier? You know what I'm getting at? Because this seems to be something that that drives the crazy lawsuit world, that for some reason there has to be some place where you can drink, drug, and go nuts to your heart's content in order to qualify as housing in the past year, or at least to not get sued out of existence. Does any of that qualify or not? I don't know.
Well, the low barrier means for these spots is starting September 1st, according to our law enforcement, drugs are illegal, and we will arrest you. That's what I'm being told.
Okay.
And so there's not, you know, and a couple of these sites we're looking at putting cameras up, 24-hour cameras. You're going to be watched 24 hours a day on your behavior.
And so if you have people coming into the park and then dealing drugs and do all, you're going to be dealt with one way or the other by the law enforcement system.
That's the many conversations I've had. Drugs are not going to be tolerated in the city of Grants Pass anymore and starting September 1st. I've had several conversations because my concerns was, with the chief of police is we need to get a handle on the drug use in the city of Grants Pass. And this is not going to be the place you do it. Now, I'm not the chief of police, but this is my as a city councilor, that's what I want done. I want every person that's using drugs arrested.
Does the rest of the city council concur with your situation? Because remember, the city council essentially, supervises the chief of police, right?
We supervise the city manager, and I think that we're in agreement that bad behavior, which is considered drug use, needs to be taken care of. And there is a compassion part, and I think we have very good law enforcement in the city of Grants Pass, and I think they know these people. They know the ones that are down on their luck and the drug users. They're not stupid people. They know the people they're dealing with, and I've been out with these people several times, and my faith is in, but they'll do the right thing for our city, and I know, again, chief has told them, we're going to go back to policing this stuff and start cracking down. Now, the DA is different. The DA is voted on by the people. Mm-hmm. And I would say if the DA doesn't do his job, then we need to get a new DA.
We have Dwayne Junker on the program this morning. Let me take a couple of calls here. I think people want to talk with you about this, Dwayne.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on with Councilor Dwayne Junker. Who's this?
Yeah, good morning. This is Terry.
Terry, go ahead.
Hey, just a little info. I'm heading back from Wilderville and passed the SWAT vehicle with about six sheriffs behind them, so it looks like they're doing their job for that part.
Mm-hmm.
With you saying these House bills that have passed and stuff and 72 hours and all this stuff, why don't we just do what liberal cities do and ignore what the law is and make them sue you to do it? Which, if they sue you, it seems like with how the Supreme Court ruled, you'd win anyway.
That's an interesting take. In other words, defying state law?
Yeah.
And it's true because the state of Oregon does defy immigration law and drug law and various other things. But, of course, that's coming at the state government level. I don't know. Any thoughts about that, Counselor? What do you think?
Well, I'm one of eight people. I have asked that question before many times because why a state gets to defy federal law and people look at me like I'm crazy and never want to weigh in. So I'm kind of in the same place.
You're in the same place as Terry. Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm in the same place as Terry. We have federal law,
So if we're going to pick and choose, all right, let the municipalities pick and choose, right? Okay.
Yeah. Why can we become a sanctuary city? And it's very confusing when you grow up in the probably the same kind of system that Terry did. And when you learn this in high school and maybe a little college, how the laws work, and then you're shaking your head. Why does the state get to defy federal law? And why can't the city defy the state? And I would agree with him. It's very confusing for me why we're not. But again, I'm only one of eight counselors. Let me expand this. We still have this federal injunction, And I'm trying to push my counselors to say, no, we're not going to do the federal injunction anymore. And I think I have.
Wait a minute. Hold on. We still have a federal injunction in Grants Pass?
We still have a federal injunction on us that has not been lifted. We're almost at about a month and a half out. And I've, you know, if I've talked to some other legal counsel, I've been to some conferences, and I don't think that they can do anything to us because the injunction was placed on the city of Grants Pass unlawfully because what law they used was unconstitutional. And I think I have about half of us now that are ready to say, you know what, we're going to start enforcing this today. We're not ready to do that because we just voted last night to get these sites ready. But
yeah,
we need to push back against the Ninth Circuit. And, you know, I would just say that federal judge, I know I'm not going to say his name, over in Medford, you have punished us unlawfully in Grants Pass. Mm-hmm. I think it's time for us to get our parks back, our city back, for what you did to us. You interpret the law wrong, and we've paid the price.
Yeah, the Supreme Court more or less said that the law was improperly interpreted.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. What about the liability for the city of Grants Pass anytime you set up any kind of service facility, whether it's a park for homelessness? How's that going to be handled with the new situation?
Well, that's a great question. And there is this, you know, we have to pay insurance, and it's the most ridiculous thing that that we're liable if someone gets, you know, you put us in a, what's it called, state-created danger. Well, I would say the state created, I agree. Someone last night said, well, the state created this danger, and I would agree. The state created this danger. Actually, the courts created this danger, and now we're dealing with it. So, yeah, we do have to pay insurance to keep us, if someone sues us for something that happens, that we force them into these areas. The trial lawyers are just loving us and they love these laws.
I guess so. Yeah. Enough wiggle room to sue, I would imagine. Councillor Dwayne Junker with me this morning. Let's grab another call here before we take off here. Hi, who's this? And you're on with Councillor Junker.
Hey, Bill, it's David.
David, what's up?
Hey, I found it interesting that after Grants Pass went to the Supreme Court, you know, like I noticed right after that, Portland did a bunch of homeless enforcement, you know, so it's kind of funny that Grants Pass went to court and then the other cities got to, you know, kind of ride on their coattails and start enforcing homeless rules. But the question I have is a bigger picture question. I didn't come up with this. I've thought about it, you know, in the next few years, but does anybody foresee these people migrating to state and federal property as the cities start to make these rules? And I mean, does anybody kind of foresee that happening? Because
More people going to BLM land or U.S. Forest Service land? Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Sure. Yeah. Oh. I mean, the eventuality, and then if that's the case, would, like, hypothetically, would we need to also make, you know, restrictions on, you know, using that land to combat these people? Because the people won't just disappear. Mm-hmm. It's just that cities are all going to squeeze them out. So I think it's an eventuality.
What do you think about that, Counselor? About what David's thinking?
Well, I think that's already happening. Ben has that problem. They have really squeezed them out, and I think they're called China Hat or whatever. They're in Bend, so it's out in, you know, public lands. That was happening before all this started taking. We had people that were living in, you know, the woods and stuff like that. And of course, that
raises the risk of wildfire issues, too, with warming fires and various other things, or like, the, you know, how the every time you see a fire that happens near the Greenway, we all know what's going on in Jackson County when you hear about, oh, there's a Greenway fire. Yeah, sure there is, right?
It's the environment.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's just, you know, just the existence of trees by the creek, and it just catches on fire. It's amazing. Okay. All right, let me go to the next line here. You're on with Councillor Dwayne Junker from Grants Pass. Hi, who's this? Go ahead.
Hi, this is Vicki McKenzie.
Hey, Vicki. Quick take on that. What do you say?
Well, I totally agree with the counselor about just not just pushing them out, but actually arresting them. But my question to him is, if you arrest every single person, they're already saying they don't have enough room in the jails as it is for regular criminals.
In other words, is there the space to be able to enforce the law? Right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, let's see what Dwayne has to say about that. Thank you, Vicki. What do you say there, Dwayne?
Well, I would agree. We especially in Josephson County, City of Grants Pass, our jail is not even being used at full capacity. And that's a tough one.
And nor do you have the personnel to be able to staff it completely either, right?
Yeah. Okay. But I would say that we are going to make people that are breaking the law uncomfortable. And I think that is a positive thing because right now, it's not hard to go very far and see someone using drugs. You know, in the last week, I've seen people lay on the sidewalk, smoking with a meth pipe or, someone with a needle in their arm. It's not far to go to that. We need to start making people that are doing that stuff uncomfortable. So I do think that will do pressure on them. Is it perfect? No. We need to rethink how the organ is combating this. We really do need to rethink our laws.
Councilor Dwayne Younger, also State Representative Dwayne Younger. Dwayne, before we take off, I just wanted to pose a national political question. Since you are, last time I checked, a Marine veteran, correct?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to ask me this question.
Okay, well, I didn't tell you I was going to, but I figured, hey, I'm going to get his take on this. Is the stolen valor claims that people are making right now against the Democratic vice presidential candidate, Tim Walz, is that a big deal? Really a big deal? Slightly unfair? Totally down with it? Because he did serve National Guard for a quarter of a century, but it does look a little strange to bug out a couple months before you're deployed to Iraq. And you're taken out of Italy, apparently, which is where he had been up to that point.
I look at this like in several different parts because I listened to what you said earlier. So the National Guard has the and all the reserves. The National Guard is actually set up for combat arms. The Army Reserve does not have combat arms. Mm-hmm. Only the National Guard does. So that's what their job is to take. Obviously their local stuff and homeland. We know people that join the military that don't deploy to Iraq, Afghanistan during the war.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not everybody gets to go. I'm actually one of those people. I've never been to Iraq, Afghanistan. I've been to Somalia, USS Cole bombing. I was there for 45 days afterward. I've done humanitarian aid in East Timor. I've done other things. I have deployed and done other things, and that just happens with your career. You don't always get to pick and choose where they send you or how things work out. So for me, look, as a veteran, I'm like, why do you need it bothers people like myself and probably other veterans when you come out and say, I did this, when we know that's not true.
So the main thing when he talks about then implying battle, that's what bugs him. That's what bugs people, right?
That's what bugs people. Most people just are happy that you served and thank you for your service.
Yeah, if you just left it at that. If you just left it at that. Okay.
I mean, there's it's just good to go back to it. A lot of people don't go to war that are in the military. Why do you need to embellish something you didn't do? My dad was in during Vietnam. They sent him to Germany. He enlisted.
Yeah.
My uncle was drafted, went to jump school, and I don't know, he was sent to Germany too. I don't understand, just the luck of the draw sometimes. I've never heard my dad ever tell me that he's a Vietnam veteran. Now, he's now a Vietnam veteran era, and he served for 4 years. If they would have sent him, he would have went. But it just happens that way. So my grandfather, World War II. He was over in World War II.
Oh, yeah.
But, spent lots of time over there. So that, I don't think you need to lie about it and to lie about these weapons that you use.
Most
people would... Yeah, most people just be thank you for your service. So when you do lie, it does bother veterans because we know we have friends and other things that have actually laid down their life. I've lost a lot of friends over in Iraq and Afghanistan.
I appreciate the take on that, and I had a feeling you would have a good take. Always appreciate it. Thanks so much, Dwayne. Good talk, okay?
All right, thank you, Bill.
Bye. State Representative and Grants Pass City Councilor Dwayne Younger. This is KMED, KMED HD1 Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass.